So Mark chapter 8, the gospel according to Mark, starting chapter 8 and verse 22, the word of God says, they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. However, they look like trees walking around." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have called us to a place of understanding, a place of learning. Father, we ask for your Spirit to continue to accompany us as it has already been manifested and present throughout this worship experience. Father, linger just a bit longer as we devour your word. We want to be transformed by it. We're looking for renewal. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Let everyone say, amen, amen. So the Bible starts us off in this story. The Bible starts off in verse 22 saying that Jesus had arrived at his destination, Bethsaida, and that people had brought a blind man to Jesus, and the Bible uses a specific word here, begged. It's the same word in the Greek. It simply means they had to be persistent with Jesus in order for him to do as they asked. They begged him to heal their friend. Now, I know in this day and age, a lot of us think that healing really isn't a 2010 thing. This is something that happened only when Jesus walked the earth. But there are many of us that don't believe that Christ heals in the same way that he did 2,000 years ago, which is very interesting because Christ did say that greater things would we do, greater things that we would do than him, right? You remember that text, you remember that passage. The interesting thing is, family, is that what Christ was doing here is what he did in all of his life. He simply models what he has called us as his followers to do. And here in this text, we have people that are begging Jesus to heal their friend. By this time, Christ had a reputation as being a healer. He had a reputation as being a healer. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is still the same today as he was yesterday? Do you believe he will be the same tomorrow? Jesus was a healer then. He is a healer now. And the only reason why we don't experience the same type of manifestation, the same type of anointing and healing, is because we just don't believe. But see, the thing is that when you believe that God can do what he says he can do, a lot of us begin to sound like the people that brought the blind man to Jesus. They simply just get downright dirty and start begging. Jesus, we got a problem. Jesus is a little busy right now. Right now, he's feeding some people. He's healing some other folks. He's preaching the good word, and they don't give up. They keep begging. They keep scratching. They keep clawing. They'll tear apart the roof. They'll be like the blind man, Bartimaeus, that keeps screaming at the top of his lungs, even though people tell him to be quiet. He just keeps shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." You see, the thing is, when you believe that God is who he is and that he can do what he says he can do and what he's proven to have done in the past, you don't give up. Faith is not you just asking once and putting it on the back burner and say, "Well, God heard me. I want to show faith and I want to show that I trust him, so I won't ask him again." Faith actually says, "No, I'm going to keep asking until I get what I want." Faith is persistent. So some of you are struggling in your physical bodies and you're asking for healing, and Tylenol won't do it. You know that, right? And Advil won't do it. You know that, right? All they simply do is turn off the pain receptors so that you think you're feeling better, but you're really not better. But God says that if you call on me, I will come, I will touch, I will heal, I can fix. God likes to be a part of the solution to our problems. The problem is that we don't think he's a solution. So we don't beg. We just ask. We use, in Mark chapter 9, we use the if word. Lord, if you can, please have mercy on us. And Jesus says, if I can, if you can believe, all things are possible. That's why I love what Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says. It says, faith is the what? Substance of things what? Hoped for. It is the evidence of things not yet what? Seen or realized. So I love it that faith is substantive. Faith actually can be seen. It can be touched. It can be handled. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is actually the evidence of things not yet seen. In other words, if you believe, God should be able to see your faith. He should be able to see your trust. That's why he said to Abraham, now I know, Abraham, that you believe. I've seen it. You were willing to offer your son. I know you would not hold anything back. Now I have seen your faith. That's why the Bible says that faith without works is what? Dead. In other words, faith without works isn't even faith. It doesn't exist. It's make believe. So if we say that we believe, it should be evident in our actions. So I know that Elisha and Elijah believed in God because on two separate occasions, they didn't give up. They would not leave the room until those dead children came back to life. That's how I know. I know the Canaanite woman believed because even when Jesus ignored her and called her names, she still kept coming at him saying, Son of David, have mercy on this girl, right? The word of God is very clear about this. It is our faith that heals us. It is our demonstration, our effort, our persistence. Luke 18 verse 1 says, always pray, never become discouraged. Always pray and never grow faint. And so the Bible tells us here that these friends of the blind man were persistent. They begged Jesus. They needed a miracle. They knew there was only one miracle worker, only one source for their solution. So they did not give up until Jesus gave them what they wanted. You know, it's interesting that when it comes to healing, some of us must rely on friends to bring about that result. That's what's so powerful about intercessory prayer. Amen? Don't ever forget the importance of being an intercessor. In fact, most of the prayers that are answered in Scripture, most of the miracles that we see wrought in Scripture are because of somebody who was interceding on another's behalf. You hear what I'm saying? You see the dead girl and the dead boy in Elisha and Elijah's story could not ask for Jesus, could not ask for God to bring them back to life. They needed someone to intercede on their behalf. The Canaanite woman in Matthew chapter 15 says, Lord, please have mercy on my daughter. She was interceding on her daughter's behalf. Even in Mark chapter 2 with the paralytic, it was the four friends that brought the paralytic to Jesus. Time and time again, when you see prayers being answered, it is usually someone who is interceding. Do not neglect your responsibility as a believer to pray for those who do not believe. Amen? There's something powerful about the one who has faith, even praying for the one who is faithless. That's why I love Abraham's prayer when he started bargaining with God like he was at a flea market, saying, Lord, you're the judge of all the earth. You have to act right. You have to do right. If there's just one righteous person in the city of Sodom, can't you save it? Remember when he worked him down? If there's anyone righteous, if there's 50, if there's 45, if there's 35, if there's 20, if there's 10, remember how he worked God down? And God, because of Abraham's persistence, saved Lot and his family. And don't think that Lot and his family went willingly. They didn't. The Bible says they were dragged out. Someone pulled them out. So I know some of you have family members. You have family members you've been praying for, and you've been praying until you're blue in the face. And I'm here to tell you, don't stop praying. You keep on praying. Don't think for a second because God did not deliver yet that he is not doing his job. You have to understand, sometimes prayer takes time. Sometimes the result of those prayers take time. I love it in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel had been praying, and the angel finally shows up 21 days later and says, hey, Dan, your prayer was really answered 21 days ago. The only problem was is that I had to fight with the prince of Persia. And then I wasn't winning, so I had to call my man Mike. Michael, the archangel, he had to come and have my back. But listen, God already agreed with your prayer, but sometimes the working out for the answer takes a little bit of time. And you have to understand why it takes time, because even in the answer of prayer, God does not, he's not a bully about it. He needs cooperation. There are times he drags us out, and there's times he knocks the door. There are times that God is saying, I want your husband converted. I'm doing my part, girl. But the thing is, your husband's being stubborn. So I'm still working with him. We're still on the same team. Just keep praying. Let's keep working. Let's keep doing this. So here we have in the story at the beginning, we have intercessory prayer here. We have people that are interceding on the behalf of someone who could not find Jesus himself. There was no way of him locating, so he was dependent on his friends. And family, let me say this real quick. You know, some of us have family members that need healing. Some of us have family members that have drug problems, drug addictions. Some of us have family members that have anger issues. Some of us have family members who are in extramarital affairs. Let me tell you something. You have a responsibility. I know it's not PC in our society for us to call people out, but when you see someone who is hurting, when you see someone who is struggling, don't stand off on the distance and say, well, you know what? All I'm going to do is just pray that one day God opens his eyes. Sometimes you have to take them to Jesus. Sometimes you're going to have to get dirty. Sometimes you're going to have to grab them by the hand as the angels grab Lot and his family and drag them out of Sodom. Sometimes you're going to have to be a part of an intervention. You know, I know they have these reality shows that have these interventions. Sometimes they can get a little messy as the friends gather around, but of course they have cameras, so you know some of that stuff can be a bit staged. But the thing is that we need to be a part of more interventions where we can sit down as a family and say, listen, you have been drinking yourself into a stupor and we're tired of seeing it. We love you too much to stand back and say, oh, we're not going to judge. No, we're going to, because we love you. We love you and we want to see you free from your addiction. We want to see you free from those chains. So we'll do whatever we can to be a part of the solution. So I love that these friends of the blind man not only are praying for God's healing, but they're an active part of the answer to the prayer. Isn't that beautiful? They actually are going to participate with the answer. They're not going to say, God, help me out, but they'll say, God, assist me. I'm going to do my part, and Lord, I want you to do your part. And so they bring the blind man before Jesus, and Jesus does something that it's a bit interesting. In fact, you don't actually see it happen any other time in the gospel, but listen to what Jesus does. It says in verse 23, he took the blind man by the hand and led him outside of the village. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside of the village. They bring him into the church service and they march him down to the platform as Jesus is preaching. They're asking for him to heal, and Christ grabs him by the hand, leads him out of the sanctuary, walks him across the street to the park, gets into BART, takes it all the way down to San Leandro. He walks him out of the village. Jesus gets into a cab with the brother and gets away from the environment before he does any kind of healing. It's kind of strange because it just doesn't seem like it's necessary, but some of us don't realize that it is necessary, because God sometimes can't heal us while we're in our mess. There are times that he has to lead us out of our mess before he can provide the restoration and the healing. Some of us are so tied to the village, so tied to our sins, so tied to our addictions, and we're praying for God to deliver us, and God is saying, I can't until you let go. I can't until I lead you out. But most of us don't want the healing until the feelings are taken away. See, we don't want to have the taste for the drug anymore. We don't want to have a taste for the relationship anymore. We don't want to have a taste for the wealth anymore. We want God to take the taste out of our mouth first, and then we'll be obedient. And God says, no, I need you to be obedient while it is hot in the kitchen, while you are on the battlefield, when you're on the front lines, when your loins are just pulling you every direction. That's when I want to take you out of the village. I need you to have faith that even though you can't feel it, know that I can deliver. He takes us by the hand and leads us out of the village. Family, don't you wait until you lose the taste for sin before you give up sin. You get out of it now, even when it tastes good to you, even when you don't think you can take your next breath without it, you get out of the village. I don't know why the man was blind. I'm not sure what happened in his life. I don't know what the circumstances surrounding his ailment, but all I know is this: there was a reason why Jesus took him out of the village. He led him by the hand, walked him out. And family, let me tell you again, I don't want you to miss this point. Don't wait until you lose the taste of sin before you give it up. Be led out of the village right now. Even when you feel like you're still in love with him, let it go now. Even when you feel like you're still in love with her, let it go now. Even when you're still pulling that paycheck at that job, when you're doing all kinds of things you know no godly person should be up to, let it go now. Let it go right now in the heat of the battle. Even when you have the bookmarks on your webpage, and every time you pull it up, you have all your little favorite Bathsheba.com sites, and you realize that the Delilah.com isn't good enough, and Bathsheba.com isn't good, and it's time to cut it out. It might be time to turn in the laptop, somebody. It might be time to just cut off the service. It might be time to cut the cable and the internet. Sometimes we have to be led out of the village before Christ can heal. So don't be afraid of it. I heard this week one of the members told me they're getting rid of their cable. They might be getting rid of it for financial reasons. I don't know, But I'm excited when people can make those kind of decisions, when they can make any kind of choice while they still have the taste in their mouth. They can say, Lord, I choose to be obedient. So he leads them out of the village, the Bible says. And the great thing is that when you're blind, you actually need to be led. Hello? When you are blind, you actually need to be led. And here's the thing, family. Most of us are blinded by our sins. We're blinded by our own issues. We're blinded by our lust. So a lot of us will be like, ain't nothing wrong with me. The problem is with you, girl. The problem is with you, right? No problem with me. A lot of us have infighting, either at home or in the church or in the workplace, and everybody else has to be blamed but you. But let me tell you something. Blind folks can't see where they're going. And you are blinded by your own issues. You are blinded by your own shortcomings. So that's why it is necessary for a man by the name of Jesus to lead you out. You can't see. And don't ask your friends to do it, because it's like the blind leading the blind. Oh, girl, don't give it up. Jesus wants you to be loved, girl. Jesus wants you to be loved. It's okay. It's okay. Don't give it up. He understands. He understands you have needs. Don't even worry about it. It's the blind leading the blind. Girl, you should go off on him. Yeah, dog, you should leave him. You need to let her go. You need to send her a message. It's the blind leading the blind. So it's important that Jesus, who can see, is able to lead us, right? So Christ leads him out of the village, and then he does something that's absolutely gross. I'm going to be real with you. This is absolutely gross. He spits in his face. Now, in John chapter 9, Jesus actually, I think, it's a little bit more organized. It's a little bit more polished. He spits in the ground, makes like a mud mask, you know, and then places it on his face. I'm almost okay with that because, you know, those of you that have facials, you know, that's kind of used to that, you know, the stuff getting all crusty and everything. So I'm almost cool with that, right? All right, just, you know, but just to bypass the dirt and just spit right into the man's eyes is just wrong. There's something about it that just doesn't sit right with me. And I had to actually do just a little bit of research on it, because I didn't think that Jesus was, you know, wasn't, I like to think of him as being refined, you know? So I found out that it was part of the people's medicine cabinet to use saliva to heal some type of illnesses that had to do with the eye. They believed that there was healing ointment. They believed that there were components in the saliva that had healing properties that can heal you. And I mean, that happens in nature. You know, animals do that when they lick their wounds. I mean, there's something really good about their saliva that helps. I praise God that he's designed our bodies to actually heal itself. You know, I love that. And so Jesus was actually using something that most people believed actually helped. He was actually using, the people's experience mingled with the power of God in order to bring about healing. What's important about this, family, is that when it comes to healing, when it comes to being restored, you don't have to throw out everything this world has deemed as healthy and good in bringing people back to wholeness. What I'm trying to say, family, is that if you're wanting healing, there's nothing wrong with receiving therapy. If you're wanting healing, there's nothing wrong with reading books other than the Bible that can speak specific to your situation. You hear me? There's nothing wrong with seeking out counseling. There's nothing wrong with understanding psychology. Don't be scared. Don't be scared of sociology and anthropology. Don't be scared because it has an ology at the end of it that it's of the devil. Because at the end of the day, God is the one that knows it all, right? All it is man trying to understand the complex workings of the universe, and they'll call it chemistry, and they'll call it physics, and they'll call it math, and they'll call it astronomy and astrology and all that other kind of stuff. But sometimes a lot of us don't actually take advantage of resources that are given to us so that we can be healed. It reminds me of the story of the village that is flooding, and the priest is praying for God to save him. And at this time, they have all kinds of workers helping out. FEMA is coming through, and they're sending in the choppers to airlift people, and they're sending in boats and rafts. And as the village is being flooded, it's at a point where it's starting to get to the rooftops, and the priest just keeps on going up higher and higher, saying, "Lord, I know you'll deliver. I know you'll deliver me." And then he gets to the rooftop and he's still waiting for God to deliver him. The poor priest dies in the flood. And of course, this is just a story. This isn't true, but you know, the man goes to heaven. I know that doesn't fit well with our state of the dead doctrine. So it's just a story. Don't go preaching to everybody that I don't believe that we people fall asleep when they die. But just for the sake of the story, he goes to heaven and he runs up to God and says, "Why didn't you save me?" He says, "I tried. I sent a boat. And then I sent a chopper. What were you waiting for? I was working through instruments that you were familiar with in order to bless you and to help you." So listen, no, again, I'm not telling you to watch Dr. Phil, okay? Please don't do that. I'm telling you that there's something powerful about support groups. There's something powerful that if you have a sexual addiction that you can join. You can join a SA meeting, all right? You can if you have a problem, an issue with eating and a food disorder, that you can also join FA. There's something powerful about some of these groups. And if you don't like the fact that it's not connected to a church, start your own. Start your own. There's something powerful. I mean, I remember reading all the 12 steps and how deeply spiritual they are. Have you ever read this 12 steps? Alcoholics Anonymous, you guys read those? Deeply spiritual. Recognizing the higher power, that you can't do it on your own. That you need to partner with people. You need intercessors. You need somebody mediating. You have to talk to somebody. You have a person that you connect with throughout the week. You come together in a group and you strengthen one another's resolve. That sounds a whole lot like church, at least the way church should be. Hello? So there's something about Christ using the saliva that the blind man, when he felt the saliva, he didn't think it was gross. He thought it was healing. He was like, "Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for using the elements at your disposal. Thank you for using what they believed was modern science. Jesus was willing to partner with their own understanding, what they believed would help, and mingle it with his divinity. And family, think about these processes. Think about them. Think about how you can find healing in your life. Do some research. Be proactive. It's not just picking up the Psalms and reading the Psalms and that solves the problem. That's the problem with our church. Sometimes people just say, all you have to do is just read the Bible and you'll find it. That's not how it happens. In some situations, it can happen that way. But let me tell you something here. We've heard the old adage, right? God won't do for us what we can what? Do for ourselves. So God is always going to ask us when we come to him, have you done your part? Have you done your part? Do you really want the healing? So I'll mingle mine with yours, all right? So in Christ's time, you know, people would die of all kinds of diseases that we can actually handle now through just living more healthy, sometimes even modern medicine. Oh, we gotta be even careful about some of those things. But the thing about it is that modern medicine has helped us avoid some of the issues that would have cost other people's lives in generations past. The thing about it is, family, mingle what God has blessed us with that we consider to be simply human knowledge. We know it's not human knowledge, right? What does the Bible say? That all wisdom comes from who? It all comes from where? I don't care what kind of degree you have, how many DDSs you have behind your name, all of it comes from God. Mingle that with the word. Mingle that with your faith. Mingle that. I visited a member that was in the hospital this week. I am grateful for those in the hospital that were able to bless him. I was grateful. He had a blood transfusion. I was happy that blood transfusion worked. I said, Lord, bless that blood. I was blessing food. Bless it. I don't know if that blood belonged to somebody who was crazy, but bless that blood. Bless it, Father. May it have healing properties. May it be to restore this person into your likeness. Father, bless that blood. I don't mind mingling my faith, what people call science, because at the end of the day, it's all J-O-D. It's all God. It's all Jesus. It's all coming from him. And if you don't believe that, you're going to find yourself in situations where you're all by yourself on a pew, all by yourself, trying to figure out why God hasn't blessed you, why he hasn't brought about healing. Take advantage, family. Take advantage of conferences that deal with those specific things you struggle with. Take advantage of those forums. Take advantage of those groups. And again, if you don't like the idea that it's not connected to a church, then start your own. May it begin now. So the Bible says that Jesus spits in the man's face. He begins to see the healing begin, the healing working. And it says he looked up and said, he asked the man at the end of verse 23. He says, do you see anything? Do you see anything? The man then says something that I find quite perplexing. He says, I do. I see people. I think. But they all look like trees. I see people, but they look like trees. I see them, but they look like trees. It's interesting because it almost feels like Jesus' miracle didn't really work. Well, it kind of worked, but it didn't really work. Like somehow, I don't know, like Jesus missed it. Like he didn't get the right spell or something. It's perplexing until you realize that Christ actually never himself performed miracles of his own power or of his own faith. The power always came from who? The Father. And it was whose faith that unlocked it? Whose faith unlocked it? Whose faith? It was always the one who was praying, the one who was asking. It was always their faith that unlocked it. It was always their trust that would unlock it. All Jesus would ever be is a conduit for the miracle. And he says it to us. Don't be dismayed. He says, I do nothing of my own accord. There is nothing that is in me. It is all him. I give all the glory to him. It is the Father who works it in me. Paul says the same thing. It is Christ that worketh where? In you. It's always been that way. Don't get it twisted. It has never been by your own. It has been because of what God does through you. And Christ says, yeah, do you see anything? The man says, well, yeah, I kind of do, but not completely, which makes me think that it's not that Jesus didn't work the miracle completely. I think Christ did his part just right. It was the man's faith that was still kind of etchy and sketchy. It was his faith and trust that just, you know, he believed a little bit, so he only received a little bit. Hello? He only believed so much, so he only received so much. There was only so much he was willing to give over to God, so there was only so much that God could give over to him. That his miracle was proportionate to his faith and trust. And family, when you're looking at healing, when you're looking at healing and you're not seeing the results, you're not seeing the results fast enough, understand this. What are you doing on your end? It can't be because God ran out of power. It can't be because you plug into him and he hasn't paid the electricity bill. It's not because of that. It has to be something on our end. So family, when you're looking at being restored and you want to be healed from your addiction, you want to be healed from your ailments, you have to ask this question. Where are you when it comes to faith? Where are you when it comes to trust? And I know you don't like that, but family, we have to ask the question. Or you're going to be doing what the blind man did. It just looks like trees. And some of us are okay seeing people as trees. Some people are okay with us not being completely healed. Some people are okay it being kind of halfway done. They're okay with that. They actually don't mind it. It's all right. They got one foot here and they got one foot there. It's all right. I'm good some of the times, not so good some of the times, but that's okay. God's still working on me. But God doesn't want to keep working on you. He wants to get the work done. Because Jesus could have been okay. He's like, all right, you see trees? Yeah, and they're walking around, they're talking. Oh, you got some Harry Potter stuff going on. Yeah. Oh, well, that's good. Okay, well, great. Well, at least you see more than you saw before. I do, Jesus. Thank you very much. The man probably would have been happy just seeing trees walking around. But Jesus wasn't done. Jesus didn't say, come back a week later. Let's see if we can work it out some more, all right? Why don't you go to church for a couple more years and let's see if we can, you know, bring about the full amount of healing. No, Christ, the Bible says, Christ isn't done. Once more, Jesus puts his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw, the Bible says in verse 25, he saw everything what? Clearly. God is ready to rid your lives of what blinds you right now, today. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that you can walk away today from this church and you do not have to be a slave to food anymore? Do you believe that you don't have to be a slave to your sexual addiction anymore? Do you believe that you don't have to be a slave to your anger anymore? Do you believe that you don't have to be a slave of wealth anymore? Do you believe you don't have to be a workaholic? Do you believe that you can leave this place today and actually see clearly, to live in your right mind? Do you believe it? We're looking for healing in totality. God is wanting to holistically transform your lives. And the only reason why it hasn't happened isn't because of his will. It's not because of his power. It's because of our lack of will and our unwillingness to plug into his power. Amen. It's our lack of faith, family. God is asking the question today. Do you really want to be healed? Because God is a healer. It's his MO. That's what he does. He's just waiting on you. He's just waiting on you. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. Are you ready? Aren't you tired of seeing trees walk around? Aren't you tired of not seeing things clearly? Not seeing things as they should be, as they ought to be? Aren't you tired of that? Isn't it time, family, that we receive the complete restoration? God can do it now. Oh, don't say, oh no, but Pastor, when he comes again and we go to heaven, then I'll have it all together. Get it together now. Amen. Why not? Why wait then? Because if God says, oh, you know, I can give you $1 million now and give you $1 million and you get to heaven, what would you say? Oh, give it to me now. If God says, I can give you a new car right now and give you a new car on the streets of gold, oh, give it to me now. We would want everything now, right? I can give you your man now, girl. I can give it when you're 90. What do you want? Give it to me now. I want it right now. But when it comes to you, when it comes to your lives being completely transformed, you're like, I'll let God continue to work on it. He needs more time. Today. Today is the day, family. Do you believe that he's a healer? If you believe it, if you truly believe it, there should be transformation. So I encourage you, family, do whatever you can. If you have to use saliva, use it. You hear me? I'm not talking about pop psychology. Please don't walk away and think I'm talking about that. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying use it. Some of you have read some of Auntie Ellen's stuff. Y'all read some of her stuff, right? Someone her day would think that she's a doctor or a therapist or a psychologist because she gets that deep. We have other Christian authors, Christian psychologists and therapists, Christian groups, support groups that are all over this Bay Area. Get involved. Get connected. And again, if they don't keep the Sabbath and that's what annoys you, then start your own. Let's do it right. Let's do it together. Let's do it as a family. Let's do it as friends. Let's come to Jesus together. Let's intercede on each other's behalf. Let's be a mediator. Let our faith be that will help some of the faithless. Let's partner together. Let's get this done. I'm tired of us being in a hospital and always looking sick. If a hospital never healed anybody, they'd be put out of business. This church should be put out of business. People should come here and walk away transformed. Some of you are involved in relationships you shouldn't be involved in. Some of you are in the right relationship, but you're doing the wrong things in the relationship. You know what that is. It's time to be healed of it. Do you believe he's your healer? We're going to sing this song, family. It's going to be a song of meditation, a song of appeal. It simply says to God, I believe that you're my healer. I believe it. You're everything that I need. The enemy doesn't want you to know this, but God is wanting to remind you today. No more trees. He wants you to see clearly. As they lead us out in song, think about it meditatively and join them when you're ready for it to be your song. When you're ready for it to be your song, your testimony, I want you to stand and join them. There's someone here that wants to be free right now. I'm going to ask you to slip out of the pew and just come forward. We're going to have a special prayer for you. There's an addiction you want to let go of. There is healing that you want. You can't let go of nicotine. You can't let go of your infidelity. You can't let go of your addiction to certain foods. You can't. You've been harmed by too much in your life for too long, and you've been too accustomed to living in the village. And God is wanting to lead you out by the hand right now. He's saying you can be free right now. I'm going to ask you to come forward. You're tired of drinking yourself into the grave. You're tired of it. You're sick of the buzz. You want to give it all up right now. I'm asking you to slip out. Your anger has poisoned your spirit. You want to let go of it right now. You want healing right now. I'm going to ask you to slip on out. You're not doing right in that relationship, and as a result, it hasn't been the blessing it could be. You want to be right in that relationship. You want healing. Just slip on out right now. We're going to pray. There's more. You've been cheating God. You've been cheating Him. So He hasn't been able to bless you. Healing is a choice, and you're going to make that choice right now. Healing is a choice, and you're making that choice right now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you don't want to go back into the village. Jesus healed the man and said, don't go back. Don't go back. Don't go back. You've experienced transformation this moment. Do not return. Do not go back. Don't go back. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Is there anyone else? Praise God. Anyone else? You want to let go of your lust? You want to let go of your imaginings? You've been plagued by it. You want to let go. It's your music. It's your music. It's what you watch. It's keeping you in that rut. You want to let go of it. You want to be healed. No more trees. No more trees. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you have called us to a place of healing. Father, we believe that you're our healer. We believe it. And Father, some of us have come forward because we're interceding on someone else's behalf. There are people that we know in our lives that need prayer, and they need more than just prayer. They need us to be an active agent in their life. They need us to be an active part in restoring them, Father. So we're going to be a part of that process. We're going to be a part of that group that confronts that individual and say, no more, no more. Father, some of us will come with our own burdens, our own issues, our own baggage, our own ailments, spiritual or physical, and we bring them before the healer today. Father, touch and deliver. Touch and deliver, Father. We're asking for your spirit to rest upon those believers that have come forward. They believe Jesus. They believe in you. And if we don't have enough faith, give us more faith. May you see it. May you smell it. May you feel our faith. Father, we have slipped out of the pews and we have come before our friends and family. We have been transparent. We are vulnerable right now before the foot of the cross. May the only tree that we see is the tree at Calvary right now. You, Jesus, crucified, bleeding for our behalf. May we find healing in that blood. May we find healing at the foot of the cross. Father, some of us have come forward because we've been half and half. We've had one foot here and one foot there, and all we've seen is trees walking around. We have been satisfied with partial healing, partial restoration, and now we're saying no more. We want the whole thing. We won't leave this sanctuary until, Father, you have done what we know you're capable of doing. We today know that healing's a choice, and we've chosen it today. Father, have thine own way with us. Father, use whatever means you have to If it's saliva, Father, use it whatever means necessary, Father. If it's a book on our shelf in our library, if it's something we have to order on Amazon.com, Father, whatever it takes. If it's a group that we need to join, Father, whatever support group, whatever. Father, you just make that so aware. Father, spit in our eyes. And Father, mingle whatever human effort it is. Mingle it with your divinity. Mingle it with your healing words and your healing touch. Father, partner with us. And Father, we will give you all the praise, all the honor. Nothing is impossible with you. So Father, we're returning. Never to go back into the village again, but we're returning back home to you in your arms. Wrap us in your arms. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. As you go back to your seat, just continue to sing that nothing is impossible.
Nothing is impossible.
Hallelujah.